Hey, welcome to Things I Learned Last Night. This is an educational comedy podcast where every week Tim teaches me something and we laugh a lot about stuff. So, you know, if you're like, oh, I want just a straight educational video, this is not it.
This is the one. This is it. Straight.
Please follow through.
So straight laced.
This week's episode is about the Circleville letters, a town in Ohio who just keeps, like, a bunch of people keep receiving letters that's kind of alluding to all of the dirt and the secrets in their lives and threatening to expose them all. So we explore the theories of who it was and what happened and what the consequences of these letters were. But anyway, here's the episode.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Have you ever heard of the Circleville letters?
The Circleville letters?
Circleville letters.
All right. I have not heard of the Circleville letters.
Circleville. Okay, so first of all, Circleville.
Are you wearing that shirt on purpose?
No.
Happy accident?
It's a happy accident.
All right.
It's unrelated, but it is a happy accident.
Okay.
This is a tattoo shirt.
I know.
No, Circleville is a town in Ohio, about 20 miles south of...
Yeah, I know where Circleville is. I did a show there.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
What?
It's outside of Columbus.
What place? Like, what was the show?
Well, you know, now that I think about it, I don't remember. I think it was like a... I just remember, was it the stage lights or was it like other bright lights and...
There was a doctor...
Hello, good day to you this day. Have you seen that guy on TikTok? I showed you. I need to send you his profile.
Yeah.
There's a guy who's like, yeah, Bashar comes and speaks through me, you know? And I go, and that's bizarre to me. So quit doing that crap.
Just insane handwriting.
Throughout the whole thing.
Insane handwriting, insane spelling. I can't get over much. Much with an S. That is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Huh.
Correctly spelled Gillespie. Cannot spell much.
I saw a guy at the airport whip out the black Amex the other day, and I almost followed him to mug him.
Things I learned last night.
Circleville is a town in Ohio,
mm-hmm.
about 20 miles south of Columbus.
I'm aware.
You already said that, but here's Circleville. Do you remember this? They got a big pumpkin water tower because apparently...
I don't remember that.
Pumpkin Fest is really big.
Mm-mm.
So they have a big pumpkin festival.
Pumpkin water tower?
A big pumpkin festival. So they got a big pumpkin water tower.
Do they have a... Is this close to where there's an EDM music festival that happens?
Oh.
Called the Neverlands? EDM. Just Google Dinosaur EDM Festival. Ohio.
Okay. Lost Lands?
Lost Lands. Yeah. Look at the pictures of that.
Oh, yeah. Gosh. I already want to go to this.
So here's the thing. Those dinosaurs are up year round. So they leave those giant dinosaurs there. So you can see them from like the highway.
Really?
Like there's just dinosaurs out in this field. And my aunts live close to there.
What? What?
Yeah.
I want to go.
Yeah.
I don't like EDM at all. I would go as far as to say
manager,
I don't like
my
EDM.
My agent is like, oh, it's not real. And I go, really? Well, what about these dinosaurs? Huh? These are pretty freaking
these
real,
look
aren't
pretty
they?
Pretty real to me.
They look pretty real to me, Maddie.
Yeah. So let's see. This is
Hey, you don't have the PTO to go to that, so don't worry about it.
This is.
I could not imagine. I'm seeing so many people in their 30s
far.
And stuff. Were you listening to what I'm talking?
This is pretty far from.
Okay, let's just do the episode. Circleville's got a pumpkin for a water tower.
What are you?
Fiddle off. That's the whole episode.
What are you saying?
No, I was gonna say I can't. Like I'm on the side of TikTok with a bunch of people our age who are old.
Yeah.
And everyone's always complaining about like their PTO and I made a PTO request. My boss request. Like listen, I can't
You're about
imagine.
To say something a little out of touch, I can tell.
For sure. But no, I mean, it's like, dude, I remember being in all of my 20s, I made less money than my friends.
Yeah.
You know? And now I'm freaking rolling it. No. But so it's not like, I just couldn't imagine that. I'm saying if I submit a PT,
off.
It's not a PTO request. It is a PTO notification. It's a PTO, hey, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And then getting it denied, I just quit.
Yeah. To be fair, yeah, I've never had a job where it was like you request and there's even the possibility of it being denied. Maybe the church was that way.
Yeah.
But yeah, every other job I've had,
because you requested off on Easter Sunday,
you were like, hey,
"Can I have off this week? I
was
really observing our Savior," and they were like, "That's the only week you can't take off."
And I was like, "Okay, what about Christmas?" And they're like, "That's the other only week.
That's the other only month." I mean,
I was like, "Okay, what about August 9th?" And they were like, "Oh, that's the other only."
Why did you say August 9th?
What? It's just a random date.
Okay.
Because they won't let you take any day off.
What happened in Circleville? Oh, okay. It's warm in here, huh?
It's a little touch on the toast, but.
Touch on the toast. Okay, Circleville, Ohio.
So Circleville, Ohio is a town.
Oh, hey. I didn't even do that on purpose. Whoops.
Oh, hey. That's.
It's pronounced Ohio.
Oh, sorry. It's Ohio.
Ohio.
Okay. Starting in the late 70s, mm-hmm. this town in Ohio, I guess starting in the mid 70s, 76, I believe. This town in Ohio started receiving letters, like people in this town started receiving letters.
Okay.
From. Well, either
the past,
either the letter was like there was no return address, but it was postmarked from Columbus, or there was a return address that was some variation of 550 Ridgewood or Wedgewood or Redwood. It was just stuff similar to that drive.
So there's a person writing letters to the town. To
people throughout town.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Not just like to the attention of the people of Circleville.
We might as well call it to the town because it was pretty much everybody in the town had received one at one point. It's a small town, like 1,100 people at the time.
Yeah, you're going to start feeling a little left out if you don't get one.
Yeah, the letter boy isn't writing me letters.
Then you're starting to fake it. You're starting to like write your own letters.
I got a letter. Yeah, it's like me at youth
camp. No, I got a letter. Yeah. She wrote me.
What did your letter say?
My letter said, "You're a wizard, Harry."
That's nothing like the letters all of us
Well,
got.
That's what mine said. Mine said, "Be sure to drink your Ovaltine or we're gonna kill your family."
Yeah, that's crazy. Ours did mention Ovaltine, actually, now that you say that.
Tonight in Circleville, Ohio, a whole family's been slaughtered in the name of Ovaltine.
In the name of Ovaltine. Brought to you by Ovaltine.
This is your first episode. There's no other context.
It doesn't get better. So people throughout the town were getting these letters.
Sure.
But even the ones that had the address of a place in Circleville, it was still postmarked Columbus. That's important.
Okay. So it still went through Columbus.
And there is a 550 Ridgewood Drive, but there's not Wedgewood. There's not Redwood. And so there's... I don't know what the deal is with there. It looks like they might have been trying to pin it on someone.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like either the person writing the letters just forgot.
Yeah.
And was just like,
what's my address?
No, not their address. They were using a fake address. Road? And they were like, Ridgewood, Red Robin, whatever.
Red Robin Drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's close. But these letters... these letters would go to specific people and they would... outline like dirt that they had on that person.
Sure.
And then sometimes they would have demands, but sometimes they'd just be like, "We know you, but you don't know me." Mm-hmm. Like that sort of concept. So it all started with this guy. This guy received the first one, at least as far as we know. His name is Gordon Massey.
This seems like, the wrong person to get a fun little letter. This guy looks like he's just...
A fun little letter.
He just looks like he sucks, man.
Yeah. I don't know if you can tell by this this photograph, but he is the Westfall superintendent. If you're listening, the photo says Gordon Massey is Westfall superintendent.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Which is a local high school. Is the local high school Westfall. Westfall. Yeah. And so he's the superintendent.
Which does sound like a fake high school out of like a cartoon.
Also,
Westfall High.
Also, it's interesting that he's the principal, right?
Superintendent.
That's my point. Because like the district has a superintendent.
You don't know what that means?
The district has a superintendent.
So Westfall high school has must a principal. Be the district.
Yeah, no. He's just the high school though. So he's not the district superintendent. Westfall is just the high school, and he's the superintendent of the high school, which tells me he became the principal and said, we're calling it superintendent now. That's what I think is happening.
Okay, sure.
He's like, I'm the superintendent of the high school.
Is this relevant to the letters?
It might be. Because look at the guy. Like, you already said it. Like, this is the guy who comes in and is like, don't call me principal. I am superintendent.
Don't call me principal.
Yeah, that's the guy. So this guy gets a letter. And here's what this letter says.
Okay.
Viewer discretion is advised. It says, and that's how it opened. That's how the letter opened. Dear sir.
Dear viewer discretion advice. Dear sir.
Dear sir, according to my GF, you have asked her to go out on many times and have asked the other female bus drivers too. Due to your position and their jobs with you.
This guy's type is a bus driver?
Hey, bus drivers.
Were bus drivers hot in the 70s? Google it.
You tell me this is the bus driver in question. I have.
She's got good teeth.
Yeah, we can leave it at that.
Sure. I mean, she's pretty lady.
Yeah. Her name is Mary Gillespie.
Okay.
Anyways, we'll continue the letter. he says.
From my GF, though.
Yeah, from my GF. He says, due to your position and their jobs with you, you should not do this. Good point. This must stop at once for the good of the school and families. If they are not stopped, I will be forced to write the school board, and I'd hate to do that. To prey on another man's girl is untouchable, especially when they're out trying to make a living. There's also talk of you dating a married woman and taking advantage of them. Do you need the time and the name again? And so it's interesting that they said again. It seems like this might not be the first letter. And then he says, please think. I suggest you find yourself a pimple-faced
beep.
Yeah, we're censoring that word. And start up with her and leave my girls alone. And so this guy gets this letter. And remember, we've already looked at him. This guy gets this letter. And he...
Now that I see him, he's a handsome man. You know?
Now that you see him.
Yeah, now I see him in that light. No. Show the bus driver again.
This is Mary Gillespie.
Okay. She's got a couple pimples on her face, you know?
Oh, no. He's like, I did that.
I don't know what you want from me, mystery writer.
Here's the thing. Gordon.
We know for a fact that this is the bus driver the writer is talking about.
Yes, because she received a letter as well.
What does her letter say?
So I don't have her first letter, but I do have her second letter. And so this will give you a perspective of what these letters look like too. So these letters, big block letters. So they're like,
this is your last chance to report him.
I also like that the writer literally just addressed this lady.
I know you are a pig lady. wait, I don't like that. Lady, this is your last chance to report him. I know you are a pig and will prove it and shame you out of Ohio. A pig sneaks around and meet other women's husbands behind their backs only. Lots of like colons.
I know, it's very weird. Like they end a lot of sentences with colons.
Causes families, spelled wrong. Causes families, colon, homes and marriages to suffer, colon. You are such a pig and I will prove it. Why doesn't he come to your rescue, or has he too much to loose? His wife, underlined, in which pigs like you take advantage of, his $28,500 a year job.
I love the just exact salary.
I don't know how I expected this to end. His kickbacks. How's your little girl? Will she grow to be like you? And then he spent a lot of time on that question mark.
A super bold question mark. Like the boldest question.
So this is handwritten. It's all big block letters.
Big block letters. A lot of spelling errors. A lot of grammar errors. Okay. A lot of punctuation errors, which I didn't realize was that common.
Okay.
And here's the deal.
So this guy is just, or this person,
yeah,
is just.
They call him the writer.
Stirring up drama in Circleville.
Yeah, so this writer knows dirt on people in Circleville, and yeah, is throwing it in their face with these letters and writing them multiple letters. Mary, for example, had received about 20 of these.
Oh my gosh.
Throughout from the mid 70s.
He never bothered to learn her name.
Lady.
Lady. Colon.
From the mid 70s to 1994, there were over 1,000 of these letters that went to people all throughout Circleville.
So over like almost 20 years?
Yeah, they're sending letters to people throughout Circleville. This writer.
Okay.
And so Gordon gets this letter, and then Mary gets this letter. And Mary is like, I don't want to say covering it up, but just ignoring it. And Gordon's doing kind of the same. Gordon's like, wow, this isn't legit. Because Gordon.
How many letters?
Over 1,000 throughout 20 years.
20 years is like how many months?
Whatever, 12 times
20. 2,400?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
No. Yeah. 240. What?
No.
240 months.
240?
240 months.
Eagle Scout?
I was trying to think of weeks for a second, yeah. And then I went, okay.
Yeah.
Yes. 240 months. So he's writing 5 a month, 1 a week.
Yeah, pretty much.
I was trying to think of how many weeks earlier. It's like, that's quite a bit of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably about right. 1 a week.
That's because I mean, that's about 1,000 weeks.
Yeah. And they're showing up to people throughout the town. And it's not just these people.
Consistent.
This is, yeah, that's commitment. You got to say something about the commitment to to the craft, committing to your craft. And, you know, they say if you want to get good at something, you got to put 10,000 hours in. And so the writer was telling Massey, the superintendent, he's like, confess your crimes. I don't know if crimes is an affair is not a crime. Is it? It's not good.
It's not a legal crime.
Yeah. I guess if both people are,
it's a crime against
for it.
But what?
If it's a consensual affair, then yeah, it's not a crime.
What are you talking about?
I'm just trying to figure out if it's legal or not.
It's legal.
Yeah,
it's legal to cheat on your spouse.
Yeah, it's just messed up. Okay, so he said, confess of your actions, or I'm gonna write to the school board.
Now, what actually might be illegal is if she's an employee of the school district that he is.
Yeah, then that could be.
Yeah, then there that might be some.
Yeah. Mary is trying to ignore this. She keeps getting letters being like, I'm gonna out you for this. And the big threat to Mary is like, your daughter's going to find out.
Right.
And I mean, Mary's also married. And so Mary's got a husband named Ron. Massey's got a wife. I don't know if Massey's wife is ever named in any of these documents, and a son.
I'm pretty sure this is we didn't look on the statistics for this, but while boomers are the highest divorced generation, right?
Is it just because they? Yeah, that's interesting.
Oh, they got all kinds of issues. I'm serious. They have all kinds of issues. So, boomers are the highest divorce generation of any, of any before them or after. They are the highest divorced.
Do you think it's because it's the first one that was like, "Yeah, this is fine"?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. But but Gen X and millennials aren't divorcing at that rate. I mean, I guess we'll see over time.
They're not old enough yet.
But I'm wondering what the rate of affairs were with different generations. I wonder if
that is an interesting question.
Obviously, it's hard to, I guess, calculate. But
yeah, especially if they weren't getting caught.
We talked about how Gen Z is more idiots on the internet than boomers are.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
A full offense to you guys, but
full offense. So Massey is getting these threats, and so Massey gets another letter that basically says, "Hey, like you're not moving fast enough," and it's like the next day, and so it's like, what do you expect me to?
But also,
tweet about this.
It was the next day. How'd the writer send it that quick?
Yeah, it might have been like they had him.
He might have just boom, and then the next day went boom. Not even time for this person to
come out and acknowledge it. And,
yeah.
And to be fair, like if you're in that position, it's kind of like a catch 22 because what he's telling Massey to do, what the writer's telling Massey to do is confess or I'm going to tell the board.
Right.
The result's the same either way. And so it's like, if you're in Massey's shoes, you might as well just hold and see if they play
their
cards.
Because also there's a level of like, oh, you got a random letter in the mail from a psycho. Yeah, they're telling the truth.
Yeah. And if you're Massey, you probably, I guess we don't know for sure, but like I don't think that anything was actually happening. Like, I don't think Massey was actually doing the things he was accused of. So Massey's just like, this is a baseless claim. I'm
right.
ignoring this.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And so Massey doesn't do anything. Mary buries this. And then I don't think Mary intentionally buries this, but Mary's husband, Ron, gets a letter.
Mr. Gillespie. Okay, hold on. You're doing a lot for her. No one cares that much for anyone these days.
Can much you spell is spelled much?
Super Can you wrong.
Spell much real quick.
M-U-S-C-H. Why is there... All right. Make him come to her rescue, but he won't. He's being awful good lately. He knows what he must do, but he won't. Make her admit the truth. Call the school board. His affairs must stop. Everyone will know soon. Think of yourself.
And so Ron was like,
still what? Random colons thrown in.
Just insane handwriting.
Throughout the whole thing.
Insane handwriting, insane spelling. I can't get over much. I can't get over much with an S. That is the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Huh.
Correctly spells Gillespie, cannot spell much.
Yeah.
That is insane to me. And the colons, who taught you that? I need to know. Anyways.
Huh.
Gillespie sees this and he's like, what? What is this? And so he talks to Mary. Mary's like, oh yeah, I've been getting these letters.
Mary, I received the strangest things today. It's really the only thing I can think about. I'm so paranoid about what this could be. I have no idea what's going on. It's just I had to come home early from work. I can't finish the workday. I got this very odd letter.
The birthday.
And it's so scary to me.
Yeah.
Look at this. And she goes, oh yeah, I have like 20 of those. Yeah, they're all like, oh, I'm going to ruin your life and stuff. And I just kind of kept throwing away. I thought they were junk mail. I thought they were credit card offers. I thought they were...
Imagine that they American Express,
like Mr. Gillespie.
I'm going to expose your affair unless you sign up for an American Express right now.
Spending too much. Think of yourself.
Mr. Gillespie.
4.59% interest.
Mr. Gillespie, your wife has access to your current card. You need a secret card. We know what you've been up to.
We know what you've been up to.
Sign up for Chase today.
I'm going to buy my next car on a credit card. Did I tell you that?
What?
I'm going to buy my next car on a credit card.
What, for the points?
Yeah, I'm just going to go to the Toyota dealership and I'm going to say, run that platinum. I'm trying to get myself a Centurion card.
Do they even do that?
I saw a guy at the airport whip out the black Amex the other day, and I almost followed him to mug him. So I was like, I'm sure he's got just a loose $100 on you.
I'm sure you've got more of those.
Show me the money. No, but I saw that, and I was like, yeah. It's like when you know, there's the Modern Family episode where he's like, yeah, we're on the top floor of this very fancy hotel,
yeah.
You know, and the 63rd floor.
Yeah.
And he's getting shaved by the butler.
Yeah.
He goes, hey, I saw someone have fish in the elevator. Where were they taking that room? Do you know, is that an option? Can I order some of that? He goes, oh, sorry, sir. That is for our Diamond Elite members on the 64th floor. And he goes, what? And he's just outside going, 62, 63, 64. And I've never related to a character in a show more. Because at the end of the show, there's another thing where he gets to the 64th floor and they're like, sorry, sir, that's actually for our Diamond Elite Elites. And then he's outside, 63, 64, 65, what? And that's, I have never related to a character more than that episode. And then that guy whipped out that black Centurion card and I was like,
I want to be him.
I'm going to write you a letter.
I'm going to ruin your life and take your card. I've counted hotel floors for that same reason before. Not that same reason, a similar reason. But there's only three floors.
Oh, this sounds like a psycho plan. Yeah. No, I've counted hotel floors. I just like to know what I'm getting into and my escape routes. I'm sorry. Hey, thanks for being part of this episode. If you want to help us do more of this, you want to help us grow our show, one of the easiest and best ways to do that is to join our Patreon. It's a way for you financially to support this show, and you get a lot in return. You get access to our Discord channel. You get bonus content that comes out. You get exclusive merchandise and like live Zoom hangouts where we're both just hanging out, eating pizza, just getting to know each other. The biggest thing is we want to know you more as an individual and as a friend. So thanks for supporting our show. If you don't support us financially, we're not pressed about it. We're not like mad, but I'll find you. So text Tillin to 66866 to keep yourself from being found. All right. Because if you don't, I will hunt you down.
This episode is brought to you by Miracle Made. Hey, summer's here. And what that means is it's starting to get warmer at night. And if you're anything like me, that means you're waking up all night long covered in a whole lot of sweat. We're all friends here. We can be honest with each other. And if that's you, I recommend you check out Miracle Made. Miracle Made is crazy because their sheets are inspired by NASA. They have this silver-infused fabric, and it regulates temperature, which means if it's too hot at night, it helps keep you cool. And if it's too cold at night, it helps keep you warm. And it does this all night long. It's really, really cool. And the wild thing is they are luxuriously comfortable, and they don't have the high price tag of a lot of other luxury brands out there. So you can feel a lot nicer in these than you would with sheets that you'd find at a lot of five-star hotels. It's crazy. Go to trymiracle.com/Tillin to try Miracle Made sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift for a friend or a loved one, if you order right now, you can save over 40%. And if you use our promo code Tillin, that's T-I-L-L-N at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and you'll save an extra 20%. Miracle is so confident in their product that it's backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee, which means if you're not 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/Tillin and use the code Tillin to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/Tillin to treat yourself. Thanks again to Miracle Made for sponsoring this episode. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. One of the things that I have a problem with is I am a bottler. That means when I feel something, any emotion, typically negative ones, I will bottle it up and pretend it doesn't exist. It's a thing I've struggled with for a long time, and I think a lot of us can sympathize with this. We deal with stressors in our lives, whether they're big or they're small things. We bottle them up, and then that can start to affect us negatively. It can weigh us down, but therapy is a safe place we can go to get those sorts of things off of our chest and to figure out what the things are that are actually weighing you down, because sometimes you bottle that stuff up and you didn't realize you bottled it up. That's been something that's been super helpful for me with my relationship with my therapist. He walks me through these things and unscrews the bottle caps and lets things explode all over the place in a safe environment where that's kind of the understanding of what's happening. If you're thinking of giving therapy a try, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient. It's flexible and it's suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist or switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Tillin today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Tillin, T-I-L-L-N. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
No, that was at that haunted hotel in Albuquerque.
Oh, yeah.
Where?
There was no third floor or whatever?
They said there was no third floor, but it was like almost like a pyramid. There was two floors. We were on the sixth floor.
Like there's no third floor. It just means there's no access to the third floor. There's clearly a third floor.
No. There was two floors that you could see from outside.
Okay.
The third floor, it was like a pyramid. The third floor was in, like a stepped pyramid. It wasn't as big, but you couldn't see it from the ground level. Like unless we actually went out and drove out to a nearby hill so we could see the third floor.
I saw the craziest thing in Waynesville today.
What?
Look up Alpine House in St. Robert, Missouri. Alpine, A-L-P-I-N-E, house, like the German one. H-A-U-S.
This?
Yes. Look at that. Do you have a side angle of it?
Yeah, let me grab one.
Can you see the side angle? Because this looks like, this is insane.
Is this a hotel?
It's abandoned now. It's for sale.
Oh, shut up. How much?
If you were to buy it? I don't know. Yeah. Probably $1 at least.
And this is our new studio.
Yeah. I mean, this looks crazy to me.
Yeah, here's this side.
I mean, yeah, it doesn't look like this anymore. Yeah, because there's an open sign and all that stuff. No, it's for sale. This looks like literally the Hello Neighbor house. This looks like...
Yeah, this is insane. This just kind of keeps... Was this all built at once, you think?
Surely not. No, they had a building. They put the pavilion on. They're like, oh, cool. We got a little drive under. Let's just put another thing on top.
I like the idea that the house at the top was first and they kept raising and each they floor slowly, up, they slowly built down.
I like the idea that the house up top was first and then through the mudslides, the rest of this has been uncovered. Been
revealed. Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah.
they were like, there's a Dr. Pepper machine downstairs. You know that? That's pretty crazy.
I can't believe that. That's all. We uncovered been here. That
in the mudslides.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper existed before the floods.
So yeah, this is the That's craziest thing it. To look at.
Yeah, that is wild. No, we were at the hotel and it was supposed to be haunted.
Yeah.
We tried to go to the third floor and you go up the stairs and it was boarded up, like literally boarded up the third floor.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then we were like, okay, that's crazy. We didn't know there was a third floor. So we like went out and we went up a nearby hill and you could see it from up there. It was like stepped in. And then we get in the elevator.
Yeah.
And we get in the elevator and we like kind of gave up. We were trying to find our way in and we actually took the service elevator and it wouldn't let us up. You need a key, you know, obviously. And we hit two and it hit ding, ding, and the doors opened to the third floor and the lights were out. The exit sign was like dangling. And obviously it's Albuquerque in like the summer.
So it's hot.
So it's so hot. The heat, the air wasn't on up there. Yeah. And so the doors open. We just get blasted with this heat and it's dark. The exit sign's like dangling and flashing. There is a demon at the end of the hall running down the hallway at us.
Yeah. A glitter monster.
Yeah. The glitter monster. And never went back to that hotel. And five stars.
Clicking a little closed door thing.
Yeah, we were.
And he's
we like, were screaming. He's like
hold the elevator. hold the door. Elevator.
I've been up here for months.
Yeah, that's probably what it was.
They boarded me up.
You left someone to die of heat exhaustion.
Just one random dude.
Yeah, just still stuck up there.
Who just is in bad
shape. Dude, they boarded me up
he's
here.
He's in bad shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's up there the for memo.
He was up there for a Mr. Beast competition. Like, I can survive 99 days on the third floor. Yeah, and they forgot about him.
Yeah,
they're doing so many videos.
Yeah, you know, they've got so much going on.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyways. So I don't remember how we got
Ron
here.
Ron got a letter. That's what it was. Ron got a letter.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, this is pretty crazy. And his wife was like, that's not pretty normal for me, actually.
Yeah. And so
I get these every week.
So Ron.
And then it was like, oh, what if they were like credit card things, you know? And then it's like, oh, yeah. And then I was like, I'm going to use my credit card to buy a car. And you're like, what? And then I was like, I'm going to get the Centurion card, you know? Because I want to get that. Because I want to get that guy. Right. And then it went to. And then it went to like, oh, you know, different floors, you know, blah, blah, blah. Speaking of floors, you see the Alpine house, and then you told your story again, which you for sure told on the podcast before.
I know, but it's a good one.
And then it's not, and then it's like, oh, it's hot. And then we joked around about like, oh yeah, the glitter monster, it's a callback. And then we're like, oh, it's a Mr. Beast challenge, and now we're here.
Okay, good.
Crazy that my brain can do that.
I'm gonna call Dave Ramsey and let him know you're thinking about buying the car
on a credit card.
Can we make a show that's us in our studio calling Dave Ramsey?
I've actually thought about that. I've thought about trolling Dave Ramsey like a lot. I think about it every day, actually. I wake up and I write him letters.
That's pretty great. We should do that. Can we create a
studio?
That's
what my counselor suggested I do instead. My counselor's like, just write him letters.
Hey, if you support us enough on Patreon, we'll build a studio that looks exactly like his studio and we'll start calling
shave our heads. Isn't that what you want?
Yeah.
You can shave your head?
I need a reason.
To live?
No, to shave my head. I need an excuse.
So Ron gets a letter.
Ron is very invested in this.
Sure.
His wife doesn't seem to care. Massey doesn't seem to care. But okay. He cares.
Does Mary know about Massey receiving letters at this point? Do we know?
I'm assuming they do, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I assume so.
Okay.
Ron is very interested, though. And so Ron is like trying to piece
Ron's
these
like,
together.
This guy's actually super nice to me. He's saying that I'm providing for you. He's saying I'm doing a lot. He said,
think of yourself. Nobody tells me to think of myself. Everybody tells me to think of everybody else.
Oh, yeah, Mary? Oh, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. For years, I have gone to my $24,500 salary job with kickbacks. And I have worked to provide for this house, and it's time that I start thinking for myself. You listen to me, Ron. Ron, are you starting to? Who's telling you that? Is that a thought
who's
you had?
That to you?
Is that a thought you had, or is that the letter man? Talking? Is it the letter man talking? Huh?
It's letter boy. We
you
call
can't
letter
think
boy.
For yourself, you little weak, spineless Ron boy.
Well, I think you're a pig. Who told you that?
Who said that?
Who said that? I know you don't think that. That's the letter boy talk.
That's the letter boy.
We should start calling it the mailman letter boy.
It is written like maybe a seventh grader's doing this.
It could be a seventh grader. So Ron starts trying to dig into this and figure out who's doing it. He is hot on the trail. The letters kind of, I don't want to say stop, but they slow a little bit.
Okay.
And then one day Ron gets a phone call. And on that phone call, it's like a lot of the same similar things that are being said to him about the letter. We don't know exactly what's said, but whatever it is, it fires him up a lot. and so he hangs up from that phone call. His daughter's home, is only the only other one home. And he says, I think that's the letter guy. I could tell who it was. I'm going to go get him. And so he takes his handgun and he runs out the house.
Get him.
Yeah, he runs out the house, takes his handgun, gets in his truck. And it's late at night and like speeds off, like peels out of the driveway and is gone. Well, Ron never comes home that night. He ends up wrapping his car around a tree. And the coroner came back and said that he had a blood alcohol content of 0.16. And they said that it was just a drunk driving accident.
Yeah.
And he crashed into a tree. Here's the thing, though. That handgun...
Was not there.
Well, it had fired. There was a round missing and there was a casing in the car, but there was no bullet that could be accounted for. And so some people think that he got into a chase and he had fired that round when he was in that chase. And somehow in that, as a result of that chase, he crashed into that tree. we don't know for sure if he was drinking that night, but it does seem a little strange because everybody in his family said he was not like a heavy drinker, and it's strange that he would have just been hanging out at home and got up to a 0.16 just by himself because he wasn't a heavy drinker. It wasn't like he was an alcoholic.
Sure.
It wasn't like he would do that. And they also thought it was
very... It does seem like an alcohol, like a alcohol-driven response.
It does.
To go, I know who that was.
I'm going to kill that guy.
I'll be right back.
I'm taking the gun.
Yeah. I'm taking the gun. Your mom's cheating on me. Do your homework. I'll be back in 15 minutes.
It does seem like that for sure. So that's definitely, that's warranted.
Don't do your homework.
Don't do your homework.
I'm that's so exactly. conflicted. I want you to have good grades, but also if you score low on the scores, then he'll lose his job as a superintendent. I can destroy the life of the man who's destroying our family. It's a lose-lose situation.
I don't know what I want you to do. But a lot of families said too, like they would not expect him to even leave his daughter home alone like that. And so they were
he had to be very confident he knew who it was.
Yeah, they were like this had to be something where he thought it was a very serious situation for him to leave, or he had a 0.16.
And his daughter's the one recounting what happened. How old's the daughter at this point? Do we know?
She would have been 13 at the time of this event.
If I'm a police officer and I show up at a 13-year-old, here's what happened. Please stop talking. Please shut your mouth. Go play with your blocks.
Let's ask the neighbors if they heard anything.
Yeah,
it's a more reliable account.
Kid says she saw a guy stab him and run away, but you know how reliable they are.
The body.
Sure, we found a knife that's covered in blood and fingerprints. I don't know. 13-year-old said it. We can't do it.
The body said he had been drinking tonight and just crashed. Excuse me, the body? Hey, it's me, the body. I've been drinking tonight. I just crashed.
Yeah, throw out the testimony from the 13-year-old. I got it from here.
I think I solved it.
What if that's what coroners were?
They just listened to the body.
There's a dead guy whisperer.
Yeah, they'll tell. The body will tell you.
Why are we talking about so many dead people in our last few episodes? Why are you doing this?
I'm a big fan of the dead.
Okay.
I don't know. You know how Google works.
We're on a dead streak right now. I know. I want you to get out of this.
Algorithms,
let's do something fun again.
They take you down.
Do Little Caesars again, you know?
All right. Yeah. I guess I got to Google Little Caesars more. It's because I've been on this diet. I haven't been eating like that. All I've been eating is Lunchables pizzas.
Okay.
I have a problem. Can I confess something
to
you? Okay. This guy keeps writing me letters telling me to confess. I ate Lunchables pizzas for lunch today. Three of them. Three packs.
Oh, three packs. I was like, yeah, dude, it comes with three of them. No, in the thing.
Three packs.
You ate nine Lunchables pizzas. Think about that. Let's lay them all out at the same time.
I'm saying lay them all out at the same time.
Sure. Yeah.
This is the third time this week I've done this.
Three of them. So you've had 27 Lunchables pizzas this week. Think about it. Do the math, Tim.
Jared, I can't stop. I can't stop doing it. I know that's a lot of. It's a lot.
Think of yourself.
Here's the deal. It's only 900 calories per sitting, so that's like better
per
than
sitting. That's 900 calories. That's better than going out to
eat. Yeah, if I go out to eat, I'm getting 1400. It's still better than going out to eat somewhere. So it's not that bad. I'm in denial. I know I am. You don't have to look at me like that. I'm just had to get this off my chest. I can't stop doing it. They're so good. Yeah. When's the last time you had a Lunchables pizza?
December 28th, 2022.
Gosh, there's.
I remember it like it was yesterday. 3 days after Christmas, all the chocolates are gone. I open the fridge. I go, Saint Nick. There's no leftover food. And then I see two Lunchables in the back of the fridge. One, a turkey and cracker sandwich kit.
Yeah.
And I said, that tastes like crap. And then I saw the pay. Now, one of them was moldy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that until I had already eaten half of it. And at that point, I'm already, you know, once you already got half a moldy pizza, and what's the other half?
What's the other mold?
You know?
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Might as well keep going. Okay, so they have... Mary's brother-in-law, I guess. I don't
know. Ron's brother.
No. So Mary's
brother.
I don't know if it's Mary's or Ron's sister's husband.
Okay.
One of their sister's husband.
I guess that was an option. Yeah, that was my bad. Yeah, that was an option.
So, but I'm pretty, also, I don't know
in
if.
In the Danny car salesman episode, whatever his last name is, Carsalo, whatever.
Yeah.
I said, oh, those are my brother-in-law. And you went, brother-in-law? You know I have two brothers-in-law.
What are you talking about? Wait, when did that happen?
I said, when did that happen? It happened on June 10th, 2023 is when I got two brothers-in-law.
Yeah, I know that. No, I was like, what was the quote?
Oh, I went, oh, you should have pictured Danny. And I was like, oh yeah, it looks just like my brother-in-law. And you were like, brother-in-law?
Did I say that?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
It's funny. I have two brother-in-laws.
Here's the thing. I was confused because I was thinking your brother, who his wife would be your sister-in-law, not your brother-in-law. And I think that's why, because I was like, what do you mean brother-in-law? So I was confused.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway.
So her brother-in-law, and I think at this point they're estranged. So it's like ex-brother-in-law because him and the wife are split up. So
this is getting too complicated.
I know it's complicated. Paul Freshour is his name, and his wife, I think might also be Mary. So maybe it's Ron's sister. It might not be Mary.
Ron's sister's name is Mary. Ron's wife's name is Mary.
Ron's mom's
name is Mary.
Everybody's name is Mary.
That was the 70s for you.
Yeah, it's true. They weren't creative. Paul is pretty upset about the way that the police handled this case because he's very confident that this was a murder and not an accident. He's like, there's no way that this happened the way that they're saying this happened. And so he starts kind of like campaigning in the town for the police to do more about this, but they're just kind of ignoring him. All the while, the letters are continuing to hit random people in the town.
Okay. Mentioning anything about Ron?
I don't think they're mentioning Ron anymore. They're just lifting up random dirt that different people have.
Sure.
And saying, if you don't do whatever, we're going to bring this dirt.
Well, like it's not like there's any gain for the person writing the letters.
It does seem like they have like, it's because most of the letters, I shouldn't say all of them, but most of the letters, there's kind of three themes in the letters. One, it's you're having an affair and that's not okay. And you need to come forward about having this affair. The second thing is you're abusing a child in some way, and that's not okay, and you need to quit doing that.
Right.
Or three, and this is a little weird, but three, you are getting in the way of the sheriff in town, and that's not okay.
I mean, And three, and this is a little weird, but you're getting in the way of the sheriff. What does that mean?
So there's a sheriff in town. I don't know how crazy that sounds to just say there's a sheriff in town. No, okay. There's a sheriff in town, and whoever this person is, they really like this sheriff. And they seem to be defending them and on the side of the sheriff. That's pretty much it. Like, they're a big fan of the sheriff.
Okay.
And so a lot of these letters are like, hey, you're getting in the sheriff's way, or you need to vote for the sheriff to continue doing what they're doing, you know, stuff like that. Support your local sheriff is kind of what these letters are. It's weird. Okay.
Okay.
Paul is kind of campaigning against the sheriff.
Got it.
Problematic.
Like, you need to do more.
Yeah, like, you need to solve this case. And the sheriff's like, sheriff's solved, like, this case.
Yeah, he's the head of my campaign.
And the letter writer's like, the sheriff knows what he's talking about. and so people are getting their letters. Mary doesn't receive a letter for a while. One day, Mary, on her bus route, drives around this corner and sees a sign on a fence post. And that sign we don't know what the sign actually says. It's never been released, but apparently the sign said something about her daughter, and it was very explicit about her daughter and Massey. And so she pulls over and is like, I'm going to take that letter down, or that sign down.
Right.
So she pulls over, she goes over to take that sign down, and as she's going to pull it down, she notices there's a piece of twine attached to the sign. So she follows that sign, and on a post right next to it, there's a box. And so she looks in that box, and there's a handgun held up by a piece of styrofoam pointed out the box with the twine wrapped around the trigger.
So if she were to pull the...
It would have pulled the trigger, and it would have shot her like point blank in the head, was where it was lined up. Right at where her height would have been. So it was like perfectly lined up to her height to hit her in the head. If she would have pulled that sign off the...
Okay. Why'd you do all that boring stuff first?
Because the boring stuff was the first part of the story. so the police, the police find out about this, and they're like, okay, this is like,
and they find out about this. Yeah, she told them.
No, she put it with all her other letters.
Ron,
this isn't that important.
Here's this and this box. That was an attempted murder attempt on me, but I mean, I handled it.
I handled it. What do you mean, handled it?
This is the height of the feminism movement, too. This is like, yeah. They don't even have the right to credit cards at this point, actually. Do you know that? This is true. They like, in the early 70s, they couldn't get a credit card.
Are you serious?
Yeah, women couldn't have
credit
cards.
When did that happen?
1974.
Holy cow. Well, no, so they just got them. Women, this is 76. Get,
yeah.
So they just got credit cards.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, she's feeling very empowered, I guess.
Jeez, that's crazy. I did not know that.
Isn't that wild?
That is really wild.
Yep.
Wow.
And that's why when people are like, we should just go back to the 60s. You know, that's why a lot of women are like,
I couldn't buy stuff.
I don't think we should do that.
That's crazy. I didn't know that. Okay. So the police get this gun and they start investigating. First thing they notice is that the serial number has been scratched off.
Of the gun,
which is pretty typical. But luckily, forensic pathologists, they're psychopaths. It's in the name. So they're able to figure out what the
serial number is. In the name?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if you arrange the letters of forensic psychologist or
pathologist.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could.
Psychopath.
You can spell psychopath out of that.
So the psychopaths, they looked closer at the guns and they were like, hey, we figured out the serial number. And so I don't know. They looked under an X-ray or something and they were able to figure out what the serial number actually was. I don't know.
Sure.
I don't know how they do it, but they did it. And they traced it back to a manager at the Anheuser-Busch plant in Columbus, Ohio. The manager was like, oh yeah, I sold that to my supervisor like 3 months ago. And he's like, I didn't scratch the VIN off or anything like that. I guess it's not a VIN, the serial number. I didn't scratch the serial number off, but I sold it to one of my managers a few months ago. And they're like, who's your manager? And he's like, Paul Freshour.
Okay.
First of all, very professional headshot.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was like an actor.
This looks like remember when the new iPhone cameras came out and people were posting headshots of their dads on Twitter?
Yeah.
Like, look how quality this
is. Look how good this is. Yeah, that's what this looks like.
Portrait mode. That's what I'm saying. When portrait mode first came out.
It's a very, very, very good shot.
Yeah.
Very good shot. No pimples at all. Well, maybe one.
Guy.
Not on this guy.
But he looks like an Ohio dad. You know,
he does look like a
later 40s mustache.
Yep.
Maybe 50s.
Yep. I wouldn't even tell you this picture was from the 70s if I saw it, honestly.
Yeah, I'd be like, that's a guy who exists today.
Yeah, that guy's here.
So sure. He's here.
Oh, that guy, he's here.
He's here in my heart.
Oh, that's Jesus.
Scientists have put together this composite photo of what they think Jesus looked like. And it's this guy. Pretty wild.
It's pretty crazy. Oh, wow. So they call Paul.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, we've got your gun that was used to attempt a murder on somebody.
And he's like, oh, I sold that.
He was like,
Ron.
The dead Ron.
That guy?
Yeah. Yes. He bought it. He called me. And I was like, well, you're dead. And he's like, yeah, that's like, what you think. No, he said,
give me your gun.
He said, here's the thing. He said, I haven't had that gun in a couple months. He said, I haven't reported it. I know that was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Like, I should have reported it stolen. And he said, but I was pretty confident my 16-year-old son stole it. And I didn't want him to get in trouble for that. So I was just trying to work it out with him just between us. And they were like, yeah, likely story, bud. You're coming with us. And so he gets arrested.
Yeah.
And they bring him in for questioning. And while questioning him, they said, hey, here's one of these letters that people have been getting lately. Do you mind like copying it real quick for us? And he was like, sure.
What do you mean?
Is this
copy,
my punishment? Yeah. Like, is this kind of like where you like, I will not attempt murder.
I won't attempt murder. That's a crazy punishment when you really think about it. You had to write like a full sentence 200 times. That's a crazy punishment.
Yeah, that hurts your wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he copies the letter and after he copies it, forensics, they look at it, they put them next to each other and they're like, this looks pretty similar. And he's like, well, you asked me.
He's like, yeah, it looks similar. You told me to copy it. I don't think that's admissible in court.
So
that's at that time I had you copy someone's signature and you just didn't do it. You looked at it, you were like, yeah, I can do it. You looked at it and then you went, and it looks nothing alike.
I was like, they're not going to check.
Yeah.
So it was
my court documents to the Department of Justice.
So they took him to court, and then
they were like,
look how similar these are. It's his gun. That guy attempted murder, didn't he? See? And the court was like, yeah, I think he did it. They actually brought like 30 other of these Circleville letters to be like, this was him writing all these letters in court. But they had the only thing that they had to tie to the letters was the copied letter that they asked him to copy while he was in questioning.
Here's the thing. If police ask you questions, do not answer those questions.
Yeah.
Okay. This is life lessons. Okay. Police are not there to solve your crime.
Yeah.
Right. They're there to close their case. That's their only job.
Yeah.
So don't trust them.
Yeah.
Do tell paramedics everything.
Yeah, you can tell them that you plead the second at any time.
I plead the second. It's my Second Amendment right to not do this.
It's my Second Amendment right.
But for real though, if he doesn't do that, there's no reason. There's no way to take him to court.
They probably can still take him to court.
Sure, but
his gun.
No,
but they have much less of a case. This was. I think that
like
that
look
was
at his
their
handwriting.
Case.
It's
yeah,
like
I think that that made their case for them. So they find him guilty of this attempted murder
based on the letter.
Based on the letter. Yeah.
Crazy.
And he also gets counts of, I don't remember what the count is, but like, I don't know, freaking people out with a written letter.
On the charge of attempted murder, the court finds the defendant guilty. On the charge of being a little weirdo and freaking out the public, the court finds the defendant guilty.
So he gets a 27 year sentence.
Oh my gosh.
They lock him up. And here's what's interesting about this. He goes into jail and the letters don't stop. And so
I would lose my mind.
He maintains his innocence through the whole trial, even after going into jail. He's maintaining his innocence. And the letters continue being sent. So the sheriff in town calls the warden. He is now at a prison on the other end of Ohio. He's like 6 hours away at this prison on the other end of Ohio.
He's like, hey, is that guy writing letters?
Yeah, he calls the warden and he says, hey, we're still getting letters from your guy. And he's like, no, you're not. And he's like, yeah, we are. And he's like, look, look, your letters, because they talked about it a little bit. And he's like, your letters are still postmarked from Columbus. There's no way they're going to get marked from Columbus. We screen everything that leaves this prison. He's like, we know what's written in these letters, and none of those letters have left our prison. And we only provide them with prison letterhead. And so he's like, these cannot be coming from within the prison. And so the sheriff, I don't know what happens, but he like basically peer pressures.
All right, thanks. We already got a guy in jail. We're the police. Why would I open a case again when I could just mark this one solved?
Mark it done. And so
moving on,
he talks the warden into moving him into solitary confinement and taking away his like ability to write letters and stuff like this. And so they lock him up in solitary.
This stuff makes me so irrationally angry.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, thanks for checking out this episode. If you like this, we've got a lot of great ones. Let me recommend a recent one, Hitchbot. Basically, some Canadian scientists said, what if we made a robot that hitchhiked across the country? You think it could make it? Spoiler alert. It's a fun episode. I like it a lot. You need to check it out. One of my favorite recent jokes is in there. So check that one out. But if not, thanks for being here. And the letter just continues.
Could you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
This is your biggest fear, right?
This is my biggest fear by far, yeah, for sure. So the letters continue. People still...
I would fight for you.
Would you?
To stay in jail. I would be the biggest public advocate. I know there'd be people out here with free Tim Stone hats, but I want you to know that I would be lock him up.
Lock him up. Know? Keep him locked
locked
up.
Him up. Locked him up. Locked him up.
Can we make that shirt?
Locked
can we make that
up.
Hat? Can we have free
locked
Tim Stone
him.
And,
we can and have,
arrest Tim Stone? Lock up Tim Stone? That's pretty funny.
If and we can see which one sells more. As it's free Tim Stone or locked him up.
Yeah, locked him up or free Tim Stone. Yeah, that's pretty good.
All right. Those are on the merch store.
That's great. So he...
when does this episode come out?
This one?
Don't worry about it. I'll do it later.
Okay, fine. So this episode, what do you...
Comes out...
What did you want me to actually check? You said don't worry
just
about
kidding,
it.
I'll do it later.
Oh my gosh.
No, it's okay. I'll do it later.
Okay, fine. I'm looking it up.
No, I'll do it later.
You want me to do it now? I'll
look
do it
up,
now.
But don't tell me.
Okay,
let
sounds
me guess.
Good. Now I know.
Okay.
Are you going to guess?
I'm a little scared too.
Oh my gosh, that was the worst thing you've ever done.
April 25th.
April 25th? Pretty close.
What is it?
April 30th.
Oh.
He's in prison.
Okay.
The letters, and he gets put in solitary
confinement. He's in solitary.
He's in solitary.
And they
the
keep
letters
coming.
Keep coming. So the sheriff calls the warden, and he's like, hey,
shoot
your
him
guy.
In the head. Kill him. Let's see what happens.
Your guy keeps sending letters, and he's like, literally impossible. He's like, I know for a fact he's not sending any more letters. He's like, matter of fact, I'm going to let him out of solitary. This is ridiculous. He's like, you got someone else out there. You need to find who
I'm
else
let him
that
loose.
Person is. I'm going to let him go.
Now, I'm not going to let him go, but I am going to leave the jail door open.
And just see what happens. Yeah, I'm going to leave the jail door open, and I'm going to open up our T-Rex exhibit that we have in the jail.
And just...
and just maybe
see what happens.
Maybe he trades them. Who knows? He comes back into town riding a T-Rex ready for his vendetta with a lasso.
That's the whole basis of the Lost Lands Festival. That's
is
why
it really?
Yeah, it's the story of the guy who came back on a dinosaur.
Yeah. And saved the city.
Saved the city from the guy with letters.
That was just
stop the letters. I can't imagine. Dude, whatever. if you listen to that kind of music, no one who listens to that music listens to our podcast.
Yeah,
there's not a single chance.
So the letters continue, and I want to highlight one of the letters that happened in this period, just because
this guy is in solitary.
He's in solitary.
This is different handwriting, though.
Do you think so? Here's the thing. The letters are always coming on different things. And I read this one.
Forget Circleville, Ohio. Do nothing to hurt Sheriff Radcliffe, colon. If you come to Ohio, you... You were trying to set me up for that one. It says, if you come to Ohio, UL sickos will pay. The Circleville writer.
L sickos is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
UL sickos.
UL sickos.
Okay. This is what I'm saying is that like the original handwriting, could you have one of the other letters handy right now? So look, I mean, this is not those block letters.
It does seem a little different.
It doesn't seem a little different. Look at the W in women's, right? That's clearly the curve, right? Or, well, I don't know, dude. Look at this. Because look, the W in will, like, I know you're a pig and will prove it, is the peaks.
Yeah, they changed it.
And then there's a curved W down here.
It looks like.
But it's a curved W down here as well. And then another peak. Man, they keep going back and forth between the peaks and the curve. I hope if you're an audio listener, you're following.
Writing is definitely not their hand.
Right. They're clearly trying to do.
They're trying to make it look like it's not.
Well, I'm looking at that A on a round. That looks more the style, like the A's that he's using, that block A. Mm-hmm. Now go back to the new one. Go back. So the Y is what I was looking at, like your and you down here. See the Y? Looks like a field goal post. And then, field goal post.
Okay. Yeah, it's very similar, but it is a little different. One person has suggested that at some point they switch to writing with their left hand.
Yeah.
So to make it less to
throw it off
obvious.
More.
Yeah. But who knows? So this letter, I just wanted to highlight. One, it's supporting Sheriff Radcliffe. Two, the El Sicos is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
And this person has embraced the name the Circleville Writer.
They're
signing it now. Weren't signing before.
That is true. Paul receives a letter while he's in prison right after he gets sentenced to solitary.
You want me to read this
one? Yeah, read it.
Okay.
Which fresh, this F is a lowercase f. That's like the only lowercase I've ever seen.
Fresh hour. Now when are you going to believe you aren't getting out of there, colon? I told you 2 years ago, when we set them up, they stay set up. Don't you listen at all? No one wants you out. No one, the joke is on you. Ha, colon. Tell no one of this letter. Well,
you sent it to a prison.
That's probably not. I saw the paper. Great news. Great. The sheriff loved it. Ha, ha. Do you believe it now? Do you?
So, Fresh Hour is up for parole in 1990.
They're still not letting him out, even though the literal writer is sending him letters.
Yeah. So Fresh Hour Fresh Hour is up for parole in 1990.
This is crazy.
And they the parole board.
You're in jail because they're like, you've been writing letters and you're threatening people and we know you tried to murder this person. Also, the person who's writing the letters is now sending them to you in jail for the thing that you're in jail for.
And we know for a fact that you can't possibly be the one writing these ones anymore, but we still think it was you. Well, the parole board hears his parole hearing comes because his parole is up in 1990. The parole board hears it and they say, while you're still writing all these letters and terrorizing the public, so you clearly haven't learned your lesson, so they deny his parole. The warden comes out to bat for him and to the parole board and says, that's nonsense. He is not writing these letters. We know for a fact that he's not writing those letters. It's impossible. And like demands that they rehear him and they refuse. And so he gets denied his parole and he stays in for 4 more years. In 1994, he's finally released. which coincidentally is the year the letter stopped.
How long did he spend in prison?
From I think it was 78 to 94. Yeah, doesn't that make your blood boil?
Oh my!
Isn't that insane?
Gosh.
He maintained his innocence throughout the entire.
Oh, time. Really?
The letters continued. The letters kept going to different people. Here's what's interesting. A lot of those letters ended up years later being found out that it was whatever they were claiming was legitimate. The affairs, the child, there's people who were like being accused of child abuse that got convicted later, like years after the letters were sent to them.
Okay.
And so the stories were lining up with whoever this person was. They knew a lot of dirt on pretty much everybody in this town.
Right.
And they were accurate with it. Another interesting thing is, remember, Gordon Massey, and, he's this Westfall superintendent.
Yes.
And then, Mary Gillespie.
Yeah.
They ended up, the whole thing started from their supposed affair that they weren't actually having, but they ended up actually having an affair, after Ron died.
Gordon was still married.
Yeah. So they ended up bonding over the whole getting threatening letters thing.
Like, can you believe these letters are talking about us having an affair? That's so crazy.
That's crazy. That's, I know, it's crazy.
That's
it's
crazy.
Pretty crazy, isn't it?
Pretty crazy. You know, this is so crazy. How many letters have you gotten? 20?
20. Me too.
I've gotten 20.
I've got them in a box too. I have a gun in a box also, actually.
I've got four letters right here. L O V E. That's her. And he's like, I've also got four letters. A R M Y.
Army guy.
And she's like,
I don't think you know what I'm trying to do here.
Shut up and kiss me. And he's like, I'm an army guy.
Teach me that in basic.
Sorry about that. I'm really strong.
So after all this happens, like, a lot of this stuff comes out to be legitimate. Here's the thing. Paul had always maintained his innocence and maintained his innocence until his death in 2012. But throughout the time from his release to his death, he continued out there saying, like, none of this is legit. And I think there's a pretty good case that it wasn't him. Obviously, like, the letters continued while he was in jail. But the one of the things we noticed right off the bat from these letters is the grammar and the spelling is insane.
Right.
Paul has two master's degrees, and he was like a director position at Anheuser-Busch, a very educated person.
Hold on, though.
And I know what you're about
to say.
Exactly
what I'm about to say, right?
I know what you're about to say. It.
Bush. B-U-S-C-H.
Was it a clue?
Or was it just...
I'm used to spelling Bush. That's interesting. But it's constant. There's constantly the wrong, like the wrong two, the wrong there, the wrong your. It's
the wrong, I'm sorry. Happens all the time. Say that again.
The wrong two, the wrong there, the wrong your.
Alex, am I stupid?
Yes.
That's not how you say that word.
Thank you.
Spell it.
T-H-E-I-R. There.
I'm in physical pain right now. I don't know if it's the Celsius.
How do you say that word? How do you say that word?
There.
No, that's T-H-E-Y-R-E. That's there. There. What sound does I-R make? There. There.
I have to quit.
There.
I'm going to freaking hurl.
Anyways, see, this guy was really smart, just like me. Knows how to spell and pronounce words really well.
You know it's there.
I know there is there, but there is there.
Why are you doing this?
Alex is...
You think it's funny or what?
Hold on, Alex is airdropping me something.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, now do the man voice.
There.
You just chopped off... You just chopped off the air. The R.
No, it's the same thing. That's the British.
It's the same thing.
The British.
Yeah, it's
that's the British pronunciation.
Oh, okay, 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 okay.
So there's reason to believe that it wasn't him just off that.
Sure.
But the motive is interesting as well. So take it back, something we haven't talked about yet. The very beginning of the story is he gets a divorce before any of this starts happening. And his wife
had an affair with the superintendent.
His wife is a bus driver at the school. And his wife loses the divorce in terms of, like, she doesn't get the kids, she doesn't get the house, she doesn't get the money. Like, she gets nothing in the divorce. And she is...
writing letters.
It's her brother. Ron is her brother. That's right. Ron is her brother that died.
Okay, wait. Okay, so Ron's sister...
is married to Paul.
Was married to Paul Freshour.
Yes.
So, when Ron calls Paul, or when the letter writer calls Ron, it's his sister. But are you suggesting that he would then take a gun and go kill his sister?
I don't know if that's what's happening here.
Because I would guess his sister is writing the letters then.
I think his sister's writing the letters. Yes.
Yes, what you think?
I think his sister's writing the letters. But I don't know if she's doing it alone because she uses we a lot. And then she seems to really be on Sheriff Radcliffe's side. Here's the thing. Sheriff Radcliffe...
also was sleeping around.
Sheriff Radcliffe was up for like a city seat. Like a county seat at the same time. And so the theory is that she got close with Sheriff Radcliffe. She started learning a lot of dirt about a lot of people.
Because he has all the dirt.
Yeah. And she has like a vendetta against Paul. She starts to believe that because Paul's gun was the gun that was discovered. She starts to believe that Paul was the one behind the murder. Hold on. Back it up.
So she's not the original letter writer.
Hold on. Let me rewind this.
Sure, that's incorrect. Sure. Yeah, I know it is.
So she is mad at Paul because Paul won the divorce.
Yes.
So
she starts writing letters.
She gets close to the sheriff. She's trying to help the sheriff get to his position and like defend the sheriff.
Okay.
But she's also one of the bus drivers, and she has like the dirt on Massey, I think. She's got some vendetta against Massey as well. And so she's using this against everybody that she's got an issue with in town.
Okay.
And she's like a very angry individual.
So she steals Paul's gun.
So Paul is pretty confident that his son stole the gun.
And set up the booby trap?
Well, Paul's son in 2002 takes his own life. And so a lot of people have thought that he like had the guilt all those years from helping his mom in this. And that's what led to that. Okay. So it looks like Paul's son stole the gun, but there was a moment where there was a witness, one of the other bus drivers had witnessed just before Mary drove past that bus stop or that sign.
Right.
And saw that sign that there was a guy with an El Camino, a yellow El Camino, standing by that post, like setting something up at that post, and wouldn't let the driver see his face. Like he turned along with the car so she couldn't see his face. But she said it was a large man with like blonde curly hair. Paul is not a large man.
He
doesn't have blonde curly hair. And so, but one of...
Do you think I did it?
Was it me?
Was it me the whole time?
And so, one of her friends was a large man with blonde curly hair, and another one of her friends drove a yellow El Camino. And so, there is some circumstantial evidence that could point to that. She prevented that witness from going forward. That witness years later, like told the news, like, yeah, I was going to come forward and say this, but she told me not to.
Okay.
And when you look at the letters, like they're very clearly like happy that he's stuck in jail and him to stay in jail. Yeah. Because if he's
jail, believe you. Yeah.
If he's in jail, custody defaults back to her for the kids. The house defaults back to her. Everything defaults back to her.
Got it.
And so she ends up winning the divorce again. So there's pretty good reason to believe that it was actually her. But we don't know for sure. Paul, on the other hand, has since started up a website that's still online called CircleVilleLetters.wordpress.com. And on that...
the show could give him a domain. What domain does he want?
Probably circlevilleletters.com.
Go to iownthatkid.com to help solve the crime of who's writing the letters.
And he's got a bunch of documents on there, but one of them is a letter to the FBI he wrote.
Handwritten.
No, it's fully typed up with all of his evidence, 164 pages.
Holy cow.
And I've skimmed this, and his theory is that the sheriff was behind all of this and was like writing all this to help make sure all the dirt behind him and any of his constituents that would vote for him would was not come
keeping
out.
Them. Yeah.
And was keeping them on his side so that way he could get voted for.
That's interesting.
And so, and that's why he was put away in jail and the evidence was hardly looked at, because the case of whenever Ron died is very strange too. Like this whole thing, he argues a lot that they need to reopen the case of Ron's death, because when Ron died, they didn't seem to care much about the fired shot. They didn't look into that at all. They also took his truck to impound and crushed it 2 days later. They didn't investigate anything on it. They just crushed it. And then they sent his body off it and were like, yeah, he had a blood alcohol content, but his whole family's like, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like him. And so there's a lot of things going on that seem like the police were
in on it.
Yeah. At least obstructing some stuff, if not involved in some of this at a high level. Also, like I said, I don't know how the forensic psychopaths figured out the serial number, but they did. They just automatically were like, yeah, we know what this is. So they've figured some stuff out that it's like, and then they keep him in prison, even though the warden himself is like, this is not him. They were like, yeah, it's him. So it seems like some dirty stuff. And then that letter that's like, once we decide you're in, you're not getting out.
Yeah.
And so it seems like there's some stuff in the inside. It could be his wife. It could be, or it could be his ex-wife. It could be the sheriff. It could be a few people. It could be
both of them.
Could be both of them together. But at the end of the day,
it could be him.
It could still be him. There's a lot of people who are still convinced
he's trying to frame all those people.
Yeah, it could. Yeah, it very well could still be him. But it's, I mean, there was over 1,000 letters written. They were written until he got out of jail.
And then when he got out, they stopped.
Once he got out of jail, they stopped. But that's all we know about him. The Circleville letters. Might have been Paul. Really? Might have been Paul's ex-wife. Might have been literally anybody
else.
Sheriff
Radcliffe.
Yeah. Who knows?
I can't imagine spending 16 years in prison with letters still coming.
Yeah.
I'd have to write on my own letter. Judge.
Colon.
Let me out or else I will make up lies about your family. Fiddle off. Hey, thanks for being here for this episode of Things Learned Last Night. If you like that episode, we also have a different one on the Watcher of 657 Boulevard. So it's a house that these people bought, and they start receiving mysterious letters in their mailbox from someone who claims to be the watcher of that house. It's a really creepy story. We talk about all the theories and maybe what happened, what didn't happen, what should have happened. It's a great episode that is linked somewhere in the description here, somewhere around there. Also, if you want next week's episode right now, you're like, man, I'm all caught up. I want more Tillin. You can join us on Patreon and you'll get next week's episode ad-free. You'll get in our Discord channel, a bunch of other perks. We'd love to see you there. Thanks for checking out our show. We'll see you next week.